The first Sunday of the month of February, we'll have our time together quietly. Wonderful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. How are you guys doing today? Good. I have a question. There's always a little bit of school in the sermons, right? We always have to ask you a question. Do you think we're supposed to find God? You know, you sometimes hear people say that they found Jesus, or you have to find God in order to go to heaven. I'm just wondering, do we go and find God? Is that something we're supposed to do? Or do you think that somehow God comes and gets us? He finds us. Anybody have an opinion on that? Put your hand up. Elena? God comes and gets us. Okay. Why do you think that? Any particular reason?
I don't know.
Okay. That's all right. How about you, Thomas? He finds us, okay. Well, how come people say you have to find Jesus? I hear that all the time. You guys know? Anybody? Jeffrey? Want me to come back to you? Elias? Because God likes us? Okay. Are we supposed to find him, though? Are we supposed to go get him? Hand up. David? Jesus comes and gets us. Okay, you're talking maybe about at the end of the world, right? Okay, does anybody here think that we need to find God? We need to go look for him. So everybody agrees with Elena. Okay, well, good. I want to tell you, we have two stories to talk about today. One we just heard in the gospel, but another one that we're going to hear a little bit about is going to teach us maybe how we find God and maybe how he finds us. Anybody know what feast we celebrated in the church yesterday? It's February 2nd. Don't anybody say Groundhog Day, because that's not a church feast. Do you know, Elena?
Groundhog Day.
Does anybody know? It's a major church feast. I'll tell you if you don't. Do you know, Sonia?
Yeah.
Let's hear it. The presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. Very good. We sometimes call that the meeting of the Lord in the temple. What happened is Jesus was 40 days old, and his mother Mary and Joseph, his caretaker, you know, his foster father, brought him into the temple to make an offering to God, because that's what Jewish people did. That's what it says in the law of Moses. When you have a firstborn son, you bring him and you dedicate him to God, and he's holy. So they brought Jesus into the temple. They made a little offering of two pigeons or turtle doves. You could bring a lamb. You could bring a lamb 1 year old, as it says, spotless. But if you weren't rich enough to have a lamb or to spare a lamb, you could bring a couple of pigeons. And it says in the Gospel of Luke that that's what Mary and Joseph and Jesus did. Okay, so they brought Jesus and they placed him in the arms of this old man. Do you know what his name is by any chance? Simeon, very good. You're going to hear his name later in the liturgy when we do the commemorations of the saints of the day, the righteous Simeon. Very good. He was an old, old fella. It says he was a righteous old man, but the New Testament doesn't actually tell us how old he is. But there's a tradition in our church that's not written in the New Testament that tells us that he was one of those men who translated the Bible. You know, the Old Testament Bible was written in Hebrew, and there was a certain time when people didn't know or speak Hebrew as much, but they spoke Greek. So Alexander the Great commissioned a translation of the Bible into Greek, And our tradition says that this gentleman, Simeon, was one of the men who translated it into Greek. So while he was working, if you can imagine what a scribe does, he reads the scriptures and he tries to put it into a different language, and it probably takes a lot of concentration. He read this passage in the Old Testament that says, a virgin will give birth to a son. She will conceive a child and give birth to a son. And Simeon stopped and he said, what? How could that be? This I have to see. This is something I really want to see. So he was sort of shocked and disbelieving. And it says that a hand appeared out of nowhere and smacked him on the face. Can you imagine that? Here he is translating the Bible. Isn't that something? And an invisible hand smacks him on the face. And a voice says, not only will this happen, but you, Simeon, will not die until you see this child and you hold him in your arms. So this, of course, was our Lord Jesus Christ. This was God's chosen one to reveal God to the world. So if you can imagine, this was about 200 years before Jesus even came. He was a really old man, probably 100, 150, 200. I don't even know anybody that's that old. I don't think people live that old any longer. But this Simeon was really old. And then after he held Jesus in his arms, he prayed to God and he said, Lord, now let me go in peace. In other words, I can die now because my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Does that sound familiar? Do you guys ever hear that prayer read in church? We say it a lot, but his words in that passage became a prayer. You shaking your head, Nicholas? Do you know when we say it? You know you hear it, though, right? We do hear it a lot. If you come to Vespers during the week or on Saturdays, you'll hear it. It's right before we start thinking about dismissing. It's called St. Simeon's Prayer after this righteous old man and the words that he prayed to God. We also say it in the church, of course, on the feast day of the presentation of the Lord. And whenever a baby is 40 days old and his mother or her mother comes to church for the first time after 40 days, we still keep that tradition in our church. So you'll hear that prayer. The important part of that prayer is when he said, my eyes have seen thy salvation. In other words, this man, Simeon, was saved. Do you know what it means to be saved? It means you're going to be rescued. That's right. And with God and the world and all that, what does it mean if God saves us? That means we're going to heaven, right? Okay. So think about what happened. Did God find Simeon or did Simeon find God? Which one do you think, Elias? Simeon found God. Did anyone think God found Simeon, George? Okay, so we have a couple of different points of view. Hold your thoughts. The gospel we heard today is another great story. This, who was the little man, it says, who wanted to see Jesus? Do you guys remember his name? Grace, do you know? Zacchaeus, very good. Yeah, he was a short man, it says. And he wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't. So what did he do? Nicholas, do you know? Climbed up a tree, right? And then what happened? He was up in the tree, and then Jesus saw him and told him to come down, right? So then we know the rest of the story. Jesus says, I want you to come to my house. I need to eat with you. And then some people complained and said, why did Jesus go eat at this man's house? This man's a sinner. And Jesus corrected everybody. And he said, I came, the Son of Man came, to save the lost. Once again, saving, right? Salvation. I came to save the lost. This man is also a son of Abraham. In other words, a son of the promise. In other words, he is going to be saved and delivered through Jesus. So look what happened at the end of that story. Zacchaeus finds salvation, right? How did he find it? Did he go find Jesus or did Jesus come and find him? Jonathan? Jesus came and found him. Yeah. Yeah. But what did he do at the beginning? Remember the beginning of that story? He had to do something. Peter, what did he have to do? Had to climb up the sycamore tree, right? And he did that for a reason. Because we even read in the gospel, we heard it read, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He desired to know something. So going back to that original question we asked, are we supposed to find God or does God come and find us? Oh, I was going to tell you the answer. Someone else wants to say? David, what? Yeah, I think ultimately God does the work. You know, God comes and he finds us because he's in control. And he loves us and wants us to be saved, probably more than we even want it. But that's not the end of the story. We have to have a little bit of work to do too. Remember, Zacchaeus climbed the tree. He desired in his heart to see Jesus, right? So we have to want God to come and find us. We don't have to go find out where he is and discover him. We just have to want to know him and want to find him and want him to save us, and then he comes. The same thing with Simeon, the old man, right? He read the scriptures, he believed them, and he said, wow, I can't wait to see this. This is something. And God kept his promise to him over 200 years. Jesus came in person and sat in his arms and received a blessing from him. God came to Simeon. God came to Zacchaeus and brought salvation to both of them, just as he does to you and me and everybody here in the church. So it's a little bit of both. We have to want God. We have to love him. We have to know who he is. We know that by hearing the Gospels, by reading the Bible, by attending Sunday school and coming to church and listening to the worship prayers, right? Okay. So just remember that. If you want him, he comes and he finds you, but you have to want him, right? Okay. We're about finished here. David, you want to ask something?
I like the
story. You guys like the story of Zacchaeus?
I really like it.
Yeah, I do too. You know what that story tells us too every time we hear it? Actually, I said something wrong last week in the sermon, something not totally accurate. Zacchaeus is always read before we start the Sunday's counting down to Great Lent. And I think I said it's always the last one before we start Great Lent. But this year that's not the case. We heard Zacchaeus. Next year we're going to hear another story about a woman whom Jesus finds, and she really wants him too. In fact, she's persistent. We're going to hear how persistent she is in the gospel next Sunday. But after that, we start the Gospels counting down to Great Lent. Something to look forward to, something that will hopefully build us up into the image of God as he wants us to be. So, children of Sunday School, I thank you for your attention today. And I ask you to stand up very quietly, make the sign of the cross, and go back to your seats with your teachers, and we'll continue the liturgy.